Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Sunday, August 30th. If you own anything that says made in China, or made in Vietnam, or even Bangladesh, the thing that you purchased got to you in a shipping container. Your t-shirt cost $12 instead of $40 because of the shipping container. You can buy a mango in Minneapolis in February because of the shipping container. Global trade exists at the scale that it does because of it. And the entire system was invented by a truck driver from North Carolina who had never set foot on a ship in his life. Okay, let's get into this one. Malcolm McLean was born in 1913 in Maxon, North Carolina, a town of about 1,500 people. His family didn't have money for college, so when he finished high school in 1935, they pooled what they had and they bought a used truck. He, his brother, and his sister started McLean Trucking Company, hauling empty tobacco barrels around North Carolina. McLean actually drove one of the trucks himself. By the early 1950s, McLean Trucking was one of the largest trucking companies in America. But McLean had a problem. His trucks were getting stuck in traffic on the coastal highways, wasting hours crawling through New York and New Jersey to deliver goods to the ports. One day, sitting in that traffic, he thought, "What if I just put the whole truck on a ship?" He then started to refine his idea. Putting the whole truck on a ship wasted way too much space. The chassis and the wheels, they took up room that could hold more cargo. So he imagined a simpler version, just the cargo section. Lift it off the truck, stack it on a ship, and then lift it onto another truck at the destination. The same load, never unloaded and repacked, moving seamlessly between road and sea. There was just one other problem, though. At the time, the U.S. regulations prohibited a trucking company from owning a shipping line. So McLean did something almost unthinkable. He sold his trucking company, the one he'd built for 20 years, and used the money to buy a shipping line instead. He took out a $22 million bank loan, which in 1955 was an enormous sum, and purchased two World War II T-2 tankers. For months, McLean's team refitted the tankers, building wooden decks on them and designing the first containers to stack on and below deck. They also designed trailer chassis so that these containers could be lifted directly onto trucks at the other end. On April 26, 1956, the SS Ideal X, which was a ship, was loaded at Port Newark, New Jersey, with 58 containers, each 35 feet long. 100 invited guests actually watched from the dock. The ship set sail for Houston, Texas. McLean flew to Houston himself so that he could be there when it arrived. Here's a number that explains why this moment mattered. At the time, loading a ship by hand cost $5.68 per ton. Stevedores, which are what dock workers were called, physically carried every box, every barrel, every sack onto the ship and stacked it to the hold. A ship could sit at a port for a week, but with McLean's containers, the cost dropped to 16 cents per ton. A 36-fold reduction. Not everyone was celebrating, though. As the ship, the Ideal X, pulled away from Newark, the reporter asked Freddie Fields, a top official of the International Longshoremen's Association, what he thought of the new container ship. Fields looked at the vessel and said, "I'd like to sink the son of a bitch." And he wasn't joking. He could see exactly what this invention was going to do to his members' livelihoods. The container didn't change the world overnight, by the way. It took more than a decade. Ports had no cranes built for containers. Unions fought it at every turn. Shipping companies, an industry steeped in tradition, saw no reason to invest in new ships when break bulk, which is the term for loose cargo loaded piece by piece, had worked fine for centuries. But McLean understood something fundamental about the shipping industry. A ship only makes money when it's at sea. Every day the ship sits at its port, being loaded or unloaded, is a day of lost revenue. His containers could turn around a ship in hours instead of days. And by 1961, Sealand, which is what McLean renamed his company, was profitable. He kept adding routes and buying bigger ships. In 1966, Sealand launched the first international container service between New York and Rotterdam. That was the first moment the globalization of manufacturing became inevitable. Then came Vietnam. In 1967, the U.S. government asked Sealand, the company, to start a container service to South Vietnam to supply the war effort. That military contract generated 40% of Sealand's revenue in 1968 and 1969, giving McLean the capital to expand into the Far East. By the end of the 1960s, container ships were moving between the US, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore, Thailand, and the Philippines. In 1969, McLean sold Sealand to R.J. Reynolds, the tobacco company, for $160 million. Not bad for a guy who started with one used truck hauling empty tobacco barrels, huh? Today, there are about 20.5 million containers in the world, and their dimensions have barely changed since 1956. Virtually all of them are 8 feet wide and either 20 or 40 feet long. The larger ones stand 8 feet 6 inches tall or 9 feet 6 inches for high cube containers. Every container ship, every port crane, every truck chassis on the planet is built around those numbers. McLean didn't patent the container and try to lock competitors out. He made his patents available royalty-free to the International Organization for Standardization, IOS. He understood that the whole system only worked if everybody used the same box. If every company had its own size, ports would need different cranes for each, and the whole efficiency would just collapse. So he gave away the standard. A container leaves a factory in Shenzhen in China, gets loaded onto a truck, driven to a port, then lifted by a crane onto a ship that can carry 20,000 of these containers. It then sails across the Pacific, gets lifted off by another crane onto a truck or a train, and then arrives at a warehouse in Kansas, for example, 2 weeks later for just a few $1,000s. I don't mean to beat a dead horse here, but all of this works because of the shipping container. So let's close this one out, because it's easy to look at shipping containers and see ugly metal boxes, but they're honestly the reason that global commerce worked. It's the reason that we've been able to get cheap goods from all over the world. And as far as I understand, I think that trend is just going to continue. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.